Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, December 13th, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen. Happy Hanukkah to those who celebrate. I believe today is the fourth day of Hanukkah, so if you celebrate, happy Hanukkah. And for everybody else, I hope you all had a great week. As always, I'm going to go through a list of topics for today's episode, and then we'll jump right into it. So in this edition of the Weekender, we have results for Impact Wrestling's Final Resolution, AAA's Triple Mania, 205 Live, NXT UK, Major League Wrestling, Ring of Honor, and a Being the Elite recap of the latest episode titled Heel Turn. Before we get into all that, I have a recommended show for you to watch on independentwrestling.tv, and my show this week is New South's Action Clash Episode 13. So the company is called New South Pro Wrestling, and the show is Action Clash Episode 13. So not only does New South have this show available, obviously, with this being episode 13, there are a lot of others to check out, and they're really cool. They usually have just a few matches on them, and they've been really good with really great ongoing stories throughout these episodes as well. These are the matches to expect if you check out the latest episode, the 13th episode, which was originally aired on Tuesday, December the 8th, so just a handful of days ago. Opening match, we have Derek Neal taking on Hot Tamale Daniel Perez. We had Kevin Ryan taking on Jaden Newman and Donnie Janella taking on Brett Eisen. So a lot of great stuff here. Derek Neal, who is the New South Heavyweight Champion, he put the title on the line against Daniel Perez. And Derek Neal, I mean, he's been doing really great work lately. He beat Cabana Man Dan, who CMD was like the long time New South Heavyweight Champion. Derek Neal beat him for that belt and then lost it briefly to Donnie Janella and then regained it not long after, doing great stuff. And Daniel Perez is looking great as well. So really good matchup here. Two people that I don't talk about enough here on the Fightful Select Weekender podcast, but people that we definitely need to be keeping our eyes on more closely. So Derek Neal and Daniel Perez, really good stuff. Two guys that I have a ton of interest in right now, Kevin Ryan and Jaden Newman. They took each other on in this match or in this show as well. Kevin Ryan, I actually talked quite a bit about him and Jaden Newman with Matt Griffin on my personal podcast, Fight Talk, which you can find on all major platforms. I interviewed Matt Griffin, who is the promoter, the guy who runs Action Wrestling out of Tyrone, Georgia. And we talked a lot about Kevin Ryan and Jaden Newman this past week. So if you want some really, really in-depth analysis about the two of them, I definitely recommend checking that out. Excuse me. But Kevin Ryan's a guy who I didn't realize has been wrestling as long as he has, but he's just now really starting to kind of come into his own. What Matt was basically saying was, Kevin, this is his own opinion, Matt was saying that he thinks that Kevin may have gotten some kind of bad advice over the years, and now he might be kind of surrounding himself with some of the right people, and things are really clicking for him. And he's a guy that I think has a ton of potential still. I'm a fan of his. I'm really looking forward to seeing his progression because I think Kevin Ryan has a lot to offer the pro wrestling business. And Jaden Newman's a guy who's been wrestling since he was like 15 or something like that. He's like 21 or 22 now. He's the booker and promoter for TWE, which is a company out of Chattanooga. So, I mean, he's a promoter in his early 20s. He's a great wrestler. Me and Matt talked about some really great stories about Jaden on my podcast, but Jaden's a guy who I talk about all the time here on the Weekender. I'm a huge fan of his, and he just keeps getting better and better. And you see him all over the place now. He was doing some stuff in Chikara before that company. You know, obviously, that whole situation. If you want to look into that, Chikara no longer runs. But it was a very prominent indie promotion for a long time, and Jaden Newman had just kind of gotten his foot in the door around the end of that company. But he does a lot of great stuff in the Chattanooga area. I've seen him at SCI. I've seen him at the Future stuff, as well as the actual tournament. I've seen him in Southern Underground Pro, and he's really all over the place now, and he just does really, really great work. So huge shout out to Jaden Newman and Kevin Ryan, two guys that I really think are the future of independent wrestling, and guys that are already, they're young veterans, and they keep getting better, so keep your eyes on both of them. In the main event of this show, we had Donnie Janella and Brett Eisen. I talk about Brett Eisen at length often on this show. He's one of my favorites. He's a guy that I have, kind of a personal relationship with to a degree, and he's a dude that I just really pull for, and a guy who's been good to me, and I we got a lot of mutual friends and stuff like that. So he's from the Nashville area. I, you know, was around him a lot when, you know, I lived out there, and I'm a huge fan of his, and he just keeps doing better and better stuff all over the place. And yeah, I mean, whether it's, you know, just straight up wrestling match or a UWFI style rules match or, you know, cage match, like the ICW, I believe ICW is the company that's been doing those cage matches. I'm really bad with the names. There's so many damn promotions right now, which is a great problem to have. But, you know, I've seen him in Paradigm and all over the place. So Brett Eisen's the man. If you've never seen Brett Eisen, I highly recommend checking out his stuff at Southern Underground Pro. That's where I think he's really thrived the most, and he's pretty much the face of that company. And yeah, he just keeps getting better and better. I'd also highly recommend checking out his match with Eddie Kingston, because it was actually right after his match with Eddie when Eddie grabbed the microphone and called out Cody, which eventually led to the match that Kingston had where he debuted in AEW and wrestled for the TNT title. And now we see where Kingston's at with AEW and everything that's happened since. And a lot of that's a catalyst of what happened right after his match with Brett Eisen. So definitely check that out. And Donnie Janela, for those of you who don't know, he basically plays like a Joey Janela ripoff character. And it's really funny and it's really entertaining. Excuse me. It's really entertaining. And he's a very, very talented wrestler. A very talented, you know, character as well, and a lot of fun to watch. I mentioned before, he's a former New South heavyweight champion, and yeah, he's been doing a lot of really great stuff. Probably my favorite feud, just for what it's worth, Brett Eisen and Chris Kronk have had an ongoing feud in New South for Action Clash. That just goes to show you how confusing this can be. There's a company called Action Wrestling from Georgia that we talk about a lot here. And this show is New South Action Clash, so obviously there's a lot of overlap in names and initials and abbreviated, you know, so we do our best to try to keep all of our ducks in a row the best that we can. But like I said, it's a great problem to have. There's so much independent wrestling, you kind of get some of the companies confused with one another, but there's so much overlapping talent that it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, because, you know what I mean? Brett Eisen being a perfect example, whether I'm talking about him at SUP, or Action, or New South, or Paradigm, or SCI, or wherever we're talking, it's still Brett Eisen doing his thing, you know what I mean? So, all good stuff. This show is really good. Just three matches, but three matches that I highly recommend checking out, and a show and series I highly recommend checking out. So, we got New South Pro Wrestling, Action Clash, Episode 13, but once again, check out all the other episodes leading up to Episode 13 here. Become familiar with New South, become familiar with more of the stuff on IWTV, because I say it all the time, this is where the future's at. A lot of the people that we talk about on this show, I've been doing the show for 2 years now here at Fightful. A lot of the people that we've been talking about for years are the people that we talk about that wind up in NXT, in AEW, in Impact, in New Japan, in Ring of Honor, whatever the case may be. A lot of them have gotten their starts in shows that we've been highlighting here from IWTV. So that's something I've talked about it before, but I'll say it for any new viewers or new listeners, I should say. That's something I really pride myself on with this with this show. I'm so sorry about my throat, y'all. My allergies are just killing me today. But, you know, that's something I really, really pride myself on with this show, is trying to be somewhere y'all can go to maybe discover some talent you aren't familiar with, become a fan of that talent, and then follow their journey from independent wrestling TV and all this stuff available here onto the major promotion. So really looking forward to seeing what the future is for everybody involved in this show. It was a really good one. And once again, it's available right now on independentwrestling.tv. Moving on, let's talk some Impact Wrestling. So they had Final Resolution this past Saturday. Yesterday night. Jeez, this long weekend, a lot of wrestling, a lot of mixed martial arts for combat sports fans out there. A lot of really good stuff. So last night we had Final Resolution. Earlier this week we had Impact's, Tuesday show. Obviously the big news there, Kenny Omega making his appearance in the bus and doing that interview with Don Callis, really great. I am so looking forward to seeing more of this whole AEW versus Impact and Kenny Omega being the belt collector. And we're going to talk about AAA Mania. AAA's Triple Mania here in just a second. But as far as Impact Wrestling goes, really interested to see where all this heads with where we're at with Kenny and all this Impact versus AEW stuff and all these potential dream matches. Really, really awesome. Really great time to be a wrestling fan right now. And rather than going through Impact Wrestling's show from Tuesday, I'll talk Final Resolution because obviously that's the more important of the two shows and kind of things kept building on Impact towards Final Resolution. So we're going to go with the resolution, Final Resolution results. But yeah, I mean, and also, you know, shout out to Impact Wrestling for their viewership was through the roof on Tuesday. I was watching on Twitch, and I think they had over 50,000 concurrent viewers. For them, that's like, so that's got to be probably five times, six times, seven times the amount of people that normally watch on Twitch. I mean, usually I feel like it's just a 500, 1,000, sometimes like that, some maybe 2,000 like the most. This time we had like 50,000 people. I mean, this was absolutely amazing to watch. And yeah, I'm just so stoked on this whole story. As far as Final Resolution, first match we had Tommy Dreamer defeated Larry D in an old school rules match, basically just a anything goes type match. Tommy Dreamer wound up getting the win with a DDT. Other people were involved in this, like AC Romero and his Larry D's partner from Team Triple XL. Johnny Bravo was a part of this as well. Tommy Dreamer, of course, being heavily involved in the whole Who Shot Johnny Bravo story and all that stuff. Like, I get that Impact has some goofy stuff going on. Trust me, I get it. Like, things like people being transported, teleported into the ring and that kind of stuff. You know, the whole murder mystery thing here with Tommy Dreamer walking around in these Sherlock Holmes and all that, like, there's a lot of very goofy stuff. I totally get that. But that stuff aside, which is just really just, I really feel like it's there. It doesn't need to be there. I don't think the comedy stuff, like the story needs to be there, like per se. But I understand why they do it. But I think we'll probably see less and less of this type of stuff the more heavily AEW gets involved. That's just my personal opinion. I think they'll kind of wrap up this whole thing and then go towards something a bit more serious. That's just a guess on my end. But Tommy Dreamer gets the win here. Don't really have a problem with it. So, yeah. Good opening match, though. Up next, we had Nevaeh and Havoc defeating the Sea Stars. Finish came when they hit a combination sit-out facebuster and cutter for the 1-2-3. Good stuff here. I think Nevaeh and Havoc are actually a bit underrated. I think they're pretty good. And the Sea Stars, they just need to keep getting more reps in Impact Wrestling. They did very good work on the indies. And they're new to Impact, and it's not surprising to see them taking some L's right now to kind of some of the more seasoned Impact talent in the Knockouts division. So this is something where, like, I'm alarmed, where I'm like, the Sea Stars have been losing, this is bad. It's like, well, no, I think they're going to be fine. I don't think there's any real shame in the Sea Stars losing to Nevaeh and Havoc, so got no problem with that. Solid for what it was. Excuse me. After that, we had Tennille Dashwood and Caleb with a K defeating Alicia and Eddie Edwards. Finish came when Tennille hit Alicia with a spotlight kick for the 1-2-3. This was all right. I mean, like, I think Tennille Dashwood's really entertaining, but I don't know if she's, I don't know if she's like the level of star that Impact thinks that she is. I know she was very popular in the WWE, but I don't know. There's something about Tennille Dashwood that kind of scares me, and it's how do I put this? I don't have a lot of faith in her sticking around in companies for a long time, because we've seen a history of it. She had a long run with the WWE, but then she had like a cup of coffee in Impact, and then she was like in Ring of Honor as a part of the Lifeblood stable for like, once again, a cup of coffee, and then she was traveling all over the world, and then she's back in Impact, and I don't know how long she's going to be staying. I mean, I hope it's for a while, but that's the thing. That's really my only reservation with Tennille, is I don't know how much you can invest in her, because she seems to just kind of come and go as she pleases all over the place. So we'll see. I mean, as long as they have Tennille, I think it's smart to push her, but at what expense? You know what I mean? Like, we'll see how, if she stays with Impact, this is all great. I'll just put it that way. And Eddie Edwards is always solid. So, you know, every time I see Eddie Edwards wrestle, I'm always like, that was good. That was a really good match. But it's never, I never feel like it's much more than that. He's had some classics throughout his career. Don't get me wrong. I mean, especially the tag team matches he had with Eddie Edwards over the years, and the singles matches he had Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards had. So, you know, I'm a fan, but he's kind of in this weird limbo right now, in my opinion. So, you know, after the match, Sami Callihan comes out and he attacks Eddie Edwards. So, like, they're continuing that, but I feel like both guys are kind of in limbo. Like, I feel like Eddie Edwards and Sami Callihan are wrestling each other because the company doesn't really know what to do with either of them at the moment, especially with all the other stuff going on. So we'll see where that all goes. I mean, at the very least, Eddie Edwards and Sami Callihan have provided really good matches against each other, even though I feel like the storyline's been pretty played out, in my opinion. At the very least, we're pretty much guaranteed to get a good match between the two. So after that, we had Hernandez taking on Falabaugh. Hernandez gets the win with a diving splash. This was okay. I mean, to Falabaugh's credit, I gotta give him credit. I probably don't give him enough credit here on this show. For his size, he moves around very well. He moves around surprisingly well for a man his size. Hernandez, I'd say the same about, but Hernandez was like, I mean, every time I see him, I just think of kind of like, I hate to say this, but just kind of like wasted potential. He could have been a major star in the early days of TNA. He did great stuff with LAX, him and Hernandez, and Conan and Homicide. Sorry, him and Homicide, not Hernandez. I'm getting all screwed up on my names today. But yeah, Hernandez, you know, it's just kind of weird seeing him now because he's kind of just like a more out of shape version of what he used to be, and he's like dresses and act. He's kind of like this janitor character almost, and he gimmick is basically like brushing his mustache and stuff. It's like, I don't know. It's one of these things where like the guy had so much potential. I figured he'd be like the TNA world champion. And like, I feel like he never had a run in the WWE. And I felt like he was such a shoo-in to be like this great WWE wrestler one day and stuff. And just kind of weird to see how it all panned out for Hernandez. And he's currently in these feuds that are just heading nowhere. So, yeah, we'll see where that all heads. Once again, probably nowhere. After that, we had Eric Young defeating Rhino. Eric Young, of course, had Joe Doering in his corner. This was really good for as long as it lasted. Really interesting twist in this one, though. At the end of the match, Cousin Jake came out to help Rhino, and Cody Deaner turned on Cousin Jake, hit him with Eric Young's mask, and then Eric Young wound up getting the win on Rhino after all the commotion. So I think it was kind of teasing that Cody Deaner might join up with Eric Young and Joe Doering, and if that's the case, I'm very interested. And I'm very interested in Cody versus Cousin Jake. I really think that they're going to have some really good matches. I think it's going to be a really good feud. I understand that the kind of Deaner character and stuff is kind of goofy, and they did a lot of goofy stuff in Wrestle House and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, Cousin Jake, aka Jake something, he has been doing amazing work on the indies for years. And Cody Deaner, I think, has been underrated for how good he actually is. He's showing me a lot more lately too. I'm looking forward to it. That might be a reaction y'all didn't expect to hear, but I think that a feud between Cody Deaner and Jake something, I think that that could be really good. And I think that they're going to have some good matches. I think they're going to surprise some people. Speaking of surprises, next up we had Manic defeating Rohit Raju to win the X Division Championship. Obviously, Manic is TJP, but like due to storyline purposes, this is all like it's become Manic. The finish came when basically Manic rolled up Rohit Raju for the 1-2-3. After some kind of confusion with the referee being involved and stuff. So, I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, The main knock that I have on Impact Wrestling, historically speaking, and it's still happening right now, is they hot potato their titles so much. And Rahit Raju was doing a great job with the belt, and now he doesn't have it anymore. And I kind of highly doubt he's going to win it back from Manic / TJP. And I don't know if TJP is really the right person to have the belt. I mean, I'm not like a giant TJP hater or anything like that, but you had a chance to really build a new star with Rahit Raju, and now you've kind of put that on hold. But they do that so much with that title belt. Like, Willie Mack had a great run with it, and then he loses it to Chris Bay, and then Chris Bay hot potatoes it, you know, over to Rahit Raju. Now Rahit Raju's basically hot potatoed it over to Manic, and now it's like, you know, I just wish they'd just long-term. I mean, this is a long-term story that TJP and Rahit have been telling, so at least there is that, but I think y'all know what I mean here, right? Like, wouldn't it be great to just have, like, a long-term X Division champion that, you know, really elevated the title more, and then it was a big deal when they lost the belt to somebody new versus just kind of hot-potatoing it the way that they do? I feel like this didn't do Rahit Raju any favors, and Rahit Raju is somebody that I feel like the company can really get behind. And once again, like, TJP is a good talent, but he's already had a long career. He's already done, you know, that whole run in the WWE. He's involved in other places, like he's doing the New Japan Cup and that kind of stuff right now. So it's like, you know what I mean? I don't have a problem with TJP being the champion, but I would have loved to see Rahit Raju get a longer title run. So, well, once again, like I've said so much already today, we'll see where that goes. But I mean, I have faith that they'll continue to have good matches. That's the thing. At the end of the day, they're putting on good matches, and the stories are good. But it'd be nice to see longer champions, because you could even say the same about the world title, right? Like, the world title, just in Slammiversary, we've had Eric Young. Well, Slammiversary, who actually walked away with the title at Slammiversary? Eddie Edwards. Eddie Edwards, then Eric Young, then Rich Swann, all within a short amount of time, you know? Just want to see longer title reigns, that's all. Up next, we had the Knockouts Championship match. Another perfect example, right? Like, Deonna Purrazzo won the belt from Jordan Grace, and then Deonna Purrazzo lost it to Sue Young, and then Sue Young lost it right back to Deonna Purrazzo. So, once again, now I get that there was a lot of plans for Kylie Rae, and she's no longer with the company or taking a break or whatever she's doing right now. So I get that threw a wrench in the plans as far as the Knockouts go. So I will give them kind of the slack there. But it's, you know what I mean? It's just another perfect example. Same with the tag titles. Like, the North, Long Reigns, lose to Motor City Machine Guns. I get Al Shelley got hurt, and then they put the titles right back on the North, and then the North lost them pretty much right away to the Good Brothers. So it's like, this is just a constant theme in Impact Wrestling. They need to do a better job protecting the championships. Just I think it's really important that they do that. But speaking of the Knockouts Championship, this was a good match. Deonna Purrazzo defeated Rosemary. Deonna Purrazzo, of course, had Kimberly in her corner. Rosemary had Taya Valkyrie in hers. And this was good stuff. Deonna wound up getting the win after hitting the Cosa Nostra for the 1-2-3. And I'm great with Deonna as the champion. Like, I think the champion right now should either be Deonna Purrazzo or Jordan Grace. You know, take your pick, and I'm totally fine with that. After the match, they're basically attacking Rosemary, so, you know, that's going to continue on. The feud between Rosemary and Deonna Purrazzo, it looks like, and Taya's involved as well. So, yeah, we'll see where that all heads as well. But, you know, good stuff. Just, it's just hard for me to get over the whole hot potatoing with the titles. It's really frustrating. After that, we had Carl Anderson defeating Ethan Page in a good match. Got the win with a stun gun for the 1-2-3. The Ethan Page story right now, that's really interesting too, because after the match, basically, Ethan Page is telling Josh Alexander that, like, everything's still good, and then Josh Alexander takes off his North jacket, and it looks like, I mean, we all know that Ethan Page's contract is coming up with Impact Wrestling very soon, and I have to believe there's heavy interest from WWE, from AEW, and of course from Impact Wrestling. So, you know, we'll see where Ethan Page winds up, but I mean, there's a lot of options. He's a great singles wrestler and he's a great tag team wrestler. But yeah, who knows where he's going to wind up. But this really seems like he is on his way out of Impact Wrestling. The way he's been booked lately, losing to Hornswoggle, you know, losing this match to Carl Anderson, being the reason that the North has been unsuccessful lately. I think the writing's on the wall that Ethan Page's time with Impact Wrestling is coming to an end. And Carl Anderson on the complete opposite end, we have, you know, he's basically something that I should definitely touch on. Carl Anderson on this show is seen in the bus with Kenny Omega, and they're talking, and Omega's telling him how he wants, like, the old machine gun back and all this stuff, and super interesting. I mean, just a great story that could be told right now with the history of the Bullet Club. And it looks like Anderson and Kenny are aligned. And I mean, there's a lot of really good possibilities with all this stuff. And, you know, Carl Anderson, I thought that was really interesting to watch. Carl Anderson and Kenny Omega interacting. And I have to imagine that one of the big matches we're going to get in, like, the first big joint show or however they wind up doing this is going to be Anderson and Gallows versus the Young Bucks. They're all champions right now. They have the history from the Bullet Club and the history of, you know, them, the Good Brothers, not joining AEW when they had the opportunity and all that stuff. It's just really interesting stories right now. In the main event, we had Rich Swann retaining the Impact Championship, defeating Chris Bay. Great match. These are two of the best performers in the entire company. I'm really high on both. Rich Swann wound up getting the win with the Phoenix Splash. His Phoenix Splash just looks fantastic. His kicks and everything that he does beforehand, it just looks so crisp. Everything Chris Bay does looks great. Just really, really good match with Rich Swann retaining the title, which I'm a fan of. Like, if Rich Swann is going to be the champion, then this is, you know, like, once again, I just don't have faith in Impact's booking to keep him the champion long term, but if you keep building him the way you have lately, with the whole Eric Young story and everything he's done with the title since then, it makes him look like a legitimate threat to somebody like Kenny Omega. Because eventually, I mean, the writing's on the wall. Kenny Omega will challenge for the Impact Wrestling World Championship at some point in the near future. You know, he's basically, that's his gimmick right now, the belt collector, which is an awesome gimmick. It provides so many possibilities all over the world, so many companies. And Kenny Omega versus Rich Swann could be awesome. Now, will Rich Swann be the champion by the time all that happens? I don't know. But he'd be a damn good choice. He's awesome in the ring. He's over. You know he'd have a great match with Kenny. So, you know, hopefully that they keep, you know, keep on this path with Rich Swann, because it's been really good. After the match, Moose comes out to the ring and grabs the Impact World title, winds up handing it to Rich. But, of course, you know, he was holding the TNA title, Moose, who has that title. So, maybe we're going to get Rich and Moose sometime soon. And, I mean, I could see them putting the title on Moose. Like, I could definitely see it happening. But what would be the better match? Moose versus Rich Swann? Sorry, Rich Swann versus Kenny or Moose versus Kenny? I've got to imagine Rich Swann versus Kenny. Even though Moose has been a lot better lately, in my opinion. He's been looking really good, so a lot of stuff going on in Impact Wrestling right now, and we'll keep you updated right here on the Weekender as it keeps progressing. That's going to be obviously a heavy theme of this show in future weeks, is going to be what's happening between Impact Wrestling and AEW. So, you know, I'll keep you updated the best that I can. Moving on, we had Triple A's Triple Mania. This show happened last night as well, and it was free on Twitch, free on YouTube, which is awesome that they put it out there for free. I'm going to butcher some of these names, so I apologize in advance. We had, to start it off, Puerto de Norte defeating Nino Hamburguesa, Maximo, and Mr. Ayana. After that, we had the AAA World Tag Team titles. The Lucha Brothers, Phoenix and Pentagon Jr., defeated Miz Aziz Jr. and Octagon Jr., and also Los Mercenarios, which is Texano Jr. and Rey Escorpion. We had Copa Triple Mania, which was Lady Shani defeating Fabi Apache, Sheik Torment, Chick Tormenta, La Hydra, Hades, and Lady Marvella. We had Los Psycho Circus, the clowns that, you know, if you ever watch AAA, there's like all these clowns. So we had Psycho Clown, Monster Clown, and Murder Clown defeating Blue Demon Jr., L.A. Park, and El Hijo El Hijo de L.A. Park. A lot of mouthfuls here. Good stuff, though. I mean, these are all basically like AAA legends, everybody involved in that. After that, we had Marvel Lucha Libre, Terror Purpura, and Venodeed defeated Arachno and Leyenda Americana. Just having a hard time with these names. Here's one that I'm going to have no problem with, and this was the match of the night, in my opinion, and one of the best matches of the entire year. Kenny Omega retained the AAA Mega Championship, defeating Laredo Kid. This was awesome. This was one of Kenny's best matches of the entire year. I mean, singles matches, this might be the best of all year, and that's saying a lot because he's had some damn good singles matches. Don't know if it tops some of the tag team matches he had with Hangman, but, you know, that's some damn good company to be in. So Kenny Omega retains the title. He still has the AAA Mega Championship as well as the AEW World title as he continues to try to, you know, collect and retain his titles. And in the main event, in a hair versus hair match, Pagano defeated Chessman. So that'll do it for Triple Mania. Moving on, we have 205 Live results. Show starts off with Aria Daivari and Tony Nese defeating the Bollywood Boys. Finish came when Daivari hit a Persian Splash for the 1-2-3. Solid match. You know, Daivari and Nese, and imagine we'll get more of them teaming together because both of them are in like this gatekeeper no man's land with 205 Live, and the Bollywood Boys are in kind of a similar situation. Any, you know, true tag teams in 205 Live are kind of all in the same spot right now. You say the same about Everrise, but, you know, I don't hope that they create Cruiserweight tag team titles. Like, I don't think that'd be a good idea, but I could see it potentially happening because we have been seeing a lot more tag team wrestling, a lot more regular kind of tag teams on the show. Like I said, Everrise, Bollywood Boys, if Daivari and Nese continue to team, and then you have plenty of people in the PC and people, you know, people that aren't doing a whole lot with NXT at the moment that you could, you know, put together on this here. So we'll see kind of where that all heads. But yeah, this was a solid match for what it was. And I like seeing Daivari and Nese getting the win. Although the Bollywood Boys are the more seasoned tag team as a team, Daivari and Nese are true veterans of 205 Live. Same as the Bollywood Boys, though, to be fair. All were involved in the Cruiserweight Classic tournament, I believe. I think all four of them were the initial Cruiserweight Classic. But, you know, Tony Nese, former Cruiserweight champion. Daivari's been damn close to getting that title a few times, so I like the team of Nese and Daivari getting the win here as long as they're teaming more often going forward. And the only other match we had on the show, the main event, this was great stuff. Six-man tag team match. The team of Kurt Stallion, Ashante the Adonis, and August Grey defeated Legado del Fantasma, which of course is the Cruiserweight champion, Santos Escobar, along with Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde, the former DJZ. So, yeah, this was great stuff. The finish came when Kurt Stallion rolls up Wild for the 1-2-3. And after the match, Legado del Fantasma are trying to attack Kurt Stallion, but Ashante and August, you know, save Kurt. So I like this a lot. I love the push that Kurt Stallion's been getting. He's a guy I talked about at the beginning of this show, priding myself on, you know, finding people that I think that y'all are going to like and become fans of before they kind of make it big. Kurt Stallion's a guy we talked about for basically 2 years straight on this show before he showed up in 205 Live. He is one of my favorite, you know, indie wrestlers of all time. He is somebody that I just love seeing the love he's getting on 205 Live. They've really built him like a legitimate contender to Santos Escobar's Cruiserweight Championship, and I could see him actually winning the title. I think Escobar's going to retain, but they've built it in a way that I could totally buy Curt Stallion winning that championship and becoming kind of the new face of 205 Live because of the people they've been signing lately. I've been saying this a lot. I really feel like 205 Live is going to get more and more heavily spotlighted in the near future. The guys that they've been signing, like Alex Zane, Zach Wentz, Desmond Xavier, those kind of guys. And I know that there's more guys on the way. I don't want to say names because I don't want to ruin relationships I have with people, but I've heard from very, very credible sources that there are more signings heading to the WWE very soon, and most of them are within that same kind of weight range and size range. And I think that a lot of the purpose of this is to beef up 205 Live and really use it more as like kind of how Evolve was used. Because now that NXT is mainstream, they're on the USA Network, and they're basically a third brand to Raw and SmackDown now, 205 Live has an opportunity to kind of be what NXT used to be, and they're signing a lot of the right talent to make the show really, really cool. So, good stuff from 205 Live again this week. It's been a great show lately. To be totally honest, and this is coming from somebody who I've rarely watched Raw anymore, and I never watched SmackDown, although I do go back and I watch whatever Roman's doing, because I think the Roman Reigns story has been absolutely incredible, and him as a heel has just been so damn good. So I go out of my way to see whatever Roman's up to. But honestly, outside of, NXT TakeOver shows, which are just can't miss and they always, knock it out of the park, 205 Live is probably the most entertaining WWE branded show that there is. NXT UK has been good too, and I'm going to give you the results for that here in a second. But honestly, for my money, in the short amount of time that those shows run, a half hour to an hour long, Cruiserweight or 205 Live shows, for the amount of action you get and the talent level and stuff, I mean, it's been more entertaining to me than anything Raw's done all year, SmackDown's done, aside from Roman Reigns once again. I 205 Live it's kind of turned the corner lately, where I've always described it as a show without consequences. Like, if you miss 205 Live, you're not really missing anything at the end of the day, but there's always solid wrestling. But now it's kind of becoming more and more can't miss. And that's a huge kudos to 205 Live and the people involved with that. I don't know if that's because of Triple H's involvement or because of the signings or, obviously the talent, that they deserve a lot of credit too. Guys like Curt Stallion who obviously I've known about for a long time. I've been talking about him on this show for a long time. But I'd imagine that maybe 5% of WWE's overall fan base knew who he was a couple months ago. And now he's somebody they're really starting to look like they're building behind. I mean, so I can't say enough good things about 205 Live right now, and I think it's only going to keep getting better. And, speaking of NXT UK just a second ago, the latest episode, another really good show. Started off with Jordan Devlin, and he has, his Cruiserweight Championship. We have two Cruiserweight Champions right now, if you somehow didn't know that. We have Jordan Devlin with his belt, and we have Santos Escobar, who we were just talking about. Jordan Devlin, of course, won the title and then got stuck in the UK during the pandemic, and that's kind of why all this played out the way that it has. But Devlin, very, very talented wrestler. Same with his opponent on the show, Oliver Carter. This was really good stuff. Carter had Ashton Smith in his corner. The finish came when Jordan hit his Devlin side finisher for the 1-2-3. He retains the belt over Oliver Carter. We get an interview basically with Jenny talking about why she hates Piper Nevin. And there was a talk show with Noam Dar, had a kid on the show. Looks like they're going to be heading... we're going to get Tyler Bate and a kid on this show, which I'll talk about in a second. But looks like we're going to get Noam Dar and a kid sometime very soon. After that, we had Isla Dawn defeating Xia Brookside. Finish came when there was a distraction. Nina Samuels caused a distraction. And then, Isla Dawn hit Xia with a enziguri for the pinfall to get the victory. And in the main event, the Heritage Cup was on the line. Champion A-Kid defeated Tyler Bate. Got the win 2-1. Got the last fall in the 6th round. And the big story here is Tyler Bate has been a mentor to A-Kid. A-Kid got the win. They shake hands after the match. But at the end of the show, Tyler Bate's kind of like looking back kind of at A-Kid, as A-Kid's kind of celebrating, Tyler Bate is, you know, is the loser, and could create a lot of interest here, because Tyler Bate, between his talent and his age and the fact that he's already, like, the level of veteran that he is at such a young age and already so insanely good, and he's already done so much great stuff even in the WWE, like, between NXT and NXT UK, they gotta figure out what to do with him. They gotta figure out something big. I'd imagine that him and A-Kid will go back and forth at some point, but Tyler Bate, so once again, like, because I don't really care about Raw or SmackDown at the moment, I don't really want to see him on either of those shows because I'm not going to see a whole lot of it. But if he winds up on NXT more often, I'd really love to see that. Even 205 Live, like, if they keep doing what I've been mentioning with 205 Live, Tyler Bate could be a humongous addition to that brand. I just feel like Bate's just kind of stuck in a weird spot with NXT UK. He's the first ever NXT UK heavyweight champion. He's done pretty much all there is to do already with that brand and with the talents involved. So we got to freshen up Tyler Bate. We got to figure out something to do with him soon because he is just ultra talented. He has the kind of talent and once again, the age and experience and all that to where he really could be one of the top stars in all of WWE. I firmly believe that. But solid show. And A-Kid, once again, very talented. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it isn't, none of this is because I dislike A-Kid. I think A-Kid's great, actually. I think he's really, really damn good. But they also gotta figure out what to do with Tyler Bate going forward. Moving on, we have MLW results. Show started off with Calvin Tateman defeating Zenshin. It was a solid match, but it was pretty much a glorified squash, if we're being honest. They are really pushing Calvin Tankman, and I think that's a really, really good idea. I am a huge fan of his. They can really build the company around him. Don't know how long he's under contract to MLW for, but he's a guy who is going to have heavy interest from major, MLW, Major League Wrestling, kind of a pun there, but from mainstream, more mainstream wrestling companies, like AEW, WWE being prime examples. I think that Calvin Tankman is a can't-miss talent. His size, he's still super young, and he's gotten so much better. The first time I saw him wrestle was probably 3 or 4 years ago in Nashville, and he was decent, but he's gotten so much better since then. And this guy is just, he's a star. This guy is a star in pro wrestling. He's been doing great stuff all over the place. I especially love what he was doing lately in Black Label Pro. Just awesome stuff, so huge shout out to Calvin Tateman. It looks like MLW is really going to push him, and I think that's just a very smart move. Something that was interesting before the next match, we got a taped promo by Dan Lambert, who of course is the head coach at ATT. He basically is piping up King Mo, who's, you know, one of his teammates, a guy that he coaches and all that stuff. King Mo is an alternate in the Opera Cup. They're talking about that. Up next, something that I absolutely love to see. Violence is Forever defeated the team of Duggan and Martyr. And this was a complete squash match. This was a showcase match to familiarize the MLW fan base with Violence is Forever. Dominic Greene and Kevin Koo. So Dominic Greene has been in MLW for a while now. He's been a part of Team Filthy with Tom Lawler for a while. You know, Eric Stevens was a part of that too. He recently retired. But Kevin Koo is new to MLW, but him and Greene have been tag teaming for years now on the indies. And I've watched them wrestle so much. Dominic Greene probably wrestles more than anybody on the indies right now. Like, he's on every damn show. Every time you turn on IWTV, it feels like, boom, there's Dominic Greene. Whether it's a singles match, a tag team match, UWFI rules, hardcore, straight submission, pit fighter, whatever it is. Like, Greene does everything right now, and he's really, really coming into his own right now. And Kevin Koo, this is a humongous opportunity for him, and I think he's gonna knock it out of the park. I'm a big fan of both these guys. For those of you who don't know, Kevin Koo is actually the guy who promotes and runs Southern Underground Pro in Nashville, my favorite indie company in the world. Dominic Greene is a former Bone Storm champion there, which is their heavyweight title. And the two of them are currently the SUP tag team champions. So we'll see what they're kind of able to do. SUP isn't really running shows at the moment, but you know, their most recent SUP win was over the collective weekend. They defeated the team of To Infinity and Beyond in a really good match on the SUP collective show. But yeah, this was just a total squash match, and I love seeing it. This was a great introduction for Kevin Koo, and a great introduction to show people this tag team between Guarini, who they were already familiar with, and Kevin Koo. And just, I have so much, I'm so hyped for this. I'm so happy for these guys. And the finish came with the, basically the, I believe Red Dragon called it the Chasing the Dragon. It's the move where one holds the opponent up in a brainbuster position. The other tag team member does a kick to the back of the head, and then they drop him down for the brainbuster. I think, I'm almost positive O'Reilly and Fish called that Chasing the Dragon. But that's the move that Bounces Forever used to get the win in the squash match, and I am here for it. After that, we had a semifinal match in the Opera Cup tournament. Lowkey defeated Richard Halliday. The finish came via double stomp for the 1-2-3. Lowkey's on a roll. He's being heavily featured by MLW. I'm all for it. The guy's a lot of fun to watch in the ring. He provides something different. He's been around for freaking forever. I remember the first time I saw Lowkey wrestle, I think was in TNA. It might have been in Ring of Honor, but it was all around the same time where he was killing it in the X Division and Impact Wrestling, TNA at the time. And I believe he was the Ring of Honor World Champion. I think he was like the... Was he the first ever Ring of Honor World Champion? I'm going to look that up. Ring of Honor World Champion. First champion, Lowkey. Yep, he was the first champion of Ring of Honor. So, he won the title at 22 years old. Wow. And that was back in, what, like 2002 or something like that? So, I mean, really, really long, wild career that he's had. I mean, some people might even remember him as, I think they called him Senshi. Well, no, that was his name at, he was Senshi in TNA for a while. Caval in WWE. I mean, man, what a roller coaster career he's had. And he's a guy that, I talked about it on a previous episode of The Weekender. He's a guy that, you know, I've had a rocky relationship with as well as from like a fan perspective. He's a guy that I've loved and I've hated and I'm back to really enjoying. So yeah, good stuff from Lowkey as he advances to the finals of the tournament. And in the main event of the show, the tag team titles on the line, the Von Erichs taking on Contra Unit, which is the team of Simon Gotch and Jacob Fatu. Jacob Fatu, of course, the MLW World Champion. This was good for the time it lasted, but it does end in disqualification. Team Filthy comes out, which I love. I'm just talking about Guarini and Koo. Team Filthy comes out, you know, Tom Lawler-led stable. They come out and they attack the Von Erichs. So hopefully in the very near future, we'll get the Von Erichs versus Valens Forever, which I think will be awesome. And yeah, I mean, this was fine. This was basically a way of having the Von Erichs not have to lose and also protecting Fatu and Gotch. More specifically, Fatu. I mean, he's who I think needs to be protected. Like, I think that you do everything you can to protect Jacob Fatu and make him look like a complete animal as much as possible. Because that guy is talented as hell. He could be main eventing in any company he's in. And he's someone who I think should look very strong as the MLW World Champion. So I think they did a really good job all around on that. So another great episode of MLW Fusion. Next, we have Ring of Honor. Some results here. Started off with Mike Bennett making his Ring of Honor, you know, return. He takes on Vincent. Match ended in a disqualification. Basically, Vincent just keeps hitting Bennett in the corner, and the referee is telling him to stop, and he doesn't, and that's it. Vincent just keeps beating up Bennett after the match. Matt Taven winds up eventually attacking Vincent, and yeah, so that whole story is continuing on, which we, you know, expected it to. And something of note that I should mention here, Mark Briscoe had announced that he wants to, he's going to have PCO be his tag team partner in his upcoming tag team title match, because Jay Briscoe is, he's, you know, he got other stuff going on and, you know, stuff with EC3 and whatnot, so. So interesting to see Mark Briscoe and PCO as a team. That'll be interesting. And the only other match we had on this show, the main event, Hot Sauce Tracy Williams defeats John Walters. The finish came after Williams hit a pile driver for the 1-2-3. Solid stuff. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. I think he's one of my favorites. I love what he brings to the table. He was an incredible Powerbomb.tv champion before Powerbomb.tv rebranded to IWTV. So, I think the world of Tracy Williams, and I think he's a great fit for the Pure Division and the stable with Jonathan Gresham, the foundation, and all that stuff. This is best case scenario right now for Tracy Williams. He gets to have the kind of matches that really put him on the map. He gets be involved in stories that totally make sense for him and his character and his wrestling style. And he's being heavily featured on Ring of Honor television. So what more can you ask for if you're Tracy Williams? Really good stuff. And another note here for Ring of Honor, it's definitely worth mentioning. Final battle's coming up, and a handful of wrestlers were pulled from the show because of COVID-19. Those wrestlers, EC3, Kenny King, Flamita, and Bandido. And that's a humongous blow. They have been heavily building up EC3. He was supposed to have a grudge match against Jay Briscoe on this show. I just mentioned Briscoe being tied up with EC3 and the reason that Mark Briscoe needed to find a partner. So what's going to happen there? Kenny King, I don't know if he had a match coming up for sure or not, but like he was on the COVID list. Flamita and Bandido, they were supposed to team up with Ray Horace and defend the 6-man tag team titles against Shane Taylor Promotions. So looks like that's not going to happen. So, you know, that's a bummer, but just nothing anyone can do about that stuff right now. That's the world we live in currently, and we see this happening across the board in all sports and entertainment right now. It just is what it is, but, you know, I hope that everyone is okay, and I hope, you know, everyone recovers quickly, and it's no big deal. I'm wishing the best for everybody who has to deal with being sick with this. It just sucks for everybody involved, and I wanted to throw that out there, too. I didn't want to miss that. You know, there it looks like, you know, EC3, Kenny King, Flamita, and Bandido cannot appear on Final Battle due to COVID. All right, last up here on the Weekender, we have a recap of the latest being the Elite episode titled Heel Turn. This is a really good one. A lot of stuff went on in this show. Started off with a clip of Sting right before he made his debut on AEW television. It's him right before he goes through the curtain. I hope we get more footage of Sting backstage at AEW. I think that'd be really cool to see because obviously he's such a massive star in the world of pro wrestling, and you'd have to imagine that like most of the locker room grew up as very big fans of Sting, so it's really cool to see him involved. Up next we had BTE champion John Silver, and he announces there is a number one contender challenge to find out who's going to be taking him on for the BTE title next. And they wind up playing Uno to decide who's going to get that shot. And who wound up actually getting... Sean Dean wound up winning the whole thing, actually. So it'll be Sean Dean versus John Silver next for the BTE title. We see... Oh, this was interesting. I can't do this justice by talking about it, but we see the clip from Dynamite last week where the Acclaimed threw Nick Jackson into a dumpster, but we see a different angle of it this time, and then it's like a blackout first-person thing where Nick Jackson's like thinking about how bad it smells in the trash can and stuff while he's stuck in there. So, and he's also like, man, I hope nobody saw that, which was just pretty funny because obviously, you know, millions of people saw it. So yeah, really funny. After that, we get a segment that I'm really not into, but it was Dasha Ortiz and Diamante. Jeez, they're looking for Santana. They're like, they can't find him, and then they're like, well, he has a Mi phone, which is a callback to being the Elite skit from the Speak Spanglish stuff from a while back. And then they wind up finding Alex Abrahantes instead. So, yeah, just not for me. I'm not into the whole Spanglish, all the Spanglish, like, segments that they've done. And I just don't find
proud and powerful to be funny. I honestly just think it's all kind of annoying, to be totally honest with you. So just not really for me. What is for me, though, is the Dark Order and all those segments. So after that, we had Silver and Reynolds are putting, like, shots of, I think it was whiskey, like, shots of whiskey in a line on the floor, basically trying to trick and trap Hangman Page, like, get him into the Dark Order hangout again. And, yeah, so basically they do a cheers to Hangman Page, and they're hoping that Hangman Page is going to show up because they are heavily trying to recruit him again. After that, in another segment that I just don't think is funny, and they've been doing it week after week, we get Kazarian talking to Brandon Cutler, and Cutler's wearing a Douya shirt, which is Frank Kazarian's catchphrase, and then they're talking about anger management and stuff. Just not, honestly, just not funny, in my opinion. After that, we had Marco Stunt talking to Matt Hardy. He wishes Matt Hardy luck. And then Hardy just goes on to talk about how guys like Marco Stunt wouldn't even be involved in wrestling if it wasn't for what him and his brother did, and you know, making it to where smaller wrestlers could get over and major companies and stuff like that. And he's bragging and gloating, and this is good stuff because they're really continuing to develop this character of Matt Hardy, like this new kind of gimmick that he's got, where he's just an egomaniac basically. And he also mentions the that catchphrase he's been doing. Where he says, like, the truth is the truth, something along those lines. So that's more good stuff, more storyline progression there. Then we see the Dark Order. They're just getting trashed, getting drunk together, and Alan Angels does a body shot off of 10. So, yeah, just more Dark Order shenanigans. After that, Brandon Cutler runs into Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara is doing his vlog with Fuego. And they wind up going back and forth with jokes. Matt Hardy then walks into the bar. He's talking to Private Party. And Private Party is mad because of Matt Hardy, you know, eliminating them from the Dynamite Diamond Ring tournament. And Hardy kind of positions the argument in a way that makes him look like the good guy, and Private Party kind of naive and as the, not necessarily the bad guys, but just kind of like they didn't realize what Hardy was doing. And Hardy said that, like, the reason he did that stuff was because he was teaching Private Party a lesson during the match. And by the end of it, it seems like Private Party is like, all right, like, I got you. Like, they were really mad at Matt Hardy, but now they kind of see where he was coming from. Obviously, I think in the long run, this is really going to be more, you know, of Matt Hardy being a heel, and maybe Private Party will turn heel along with Matt Hardy, or it'll cause the breakup of Matt Hardy and Private Party as, like, a group. I don't know exactly where it's going to head yet, but that is the seeds that have been planted, is Matt Hardy is kind of manipulating Private Party now. After that, we see Matt and Nick Jackson talking to Kenny Omega, and this is right before Omega is going to go out and wrestle for the AEW Championship against Moxley. He basically says, basically the Young Bucks are like, all right, man, after you win this match, we got this room already set up, similar to when the Young Bucks won the tag team titles. They had, like, what it looks like they just won the NBA championship. They're wearing, like, the celebration hats, and they're, you know, they don't drink, but they have, like, the non-alcoholic champagne and stuff that they're pouring all over each other. They got the walls all tarped off, so they're getting that ready for Kenny. And Kenny seems a little off while they're talking, and basically, the Young Bucks are like, yeah, we'll be right here in this room waiting for you when you come back as champion, and we're going to celebrate. And Omega's kind of like, yeah, okay, yeah, for sure, I'll see you guys later. Obviously, we know what happened, but I'll get to that in a second. Before that, we see Hangman Page. He's walking around, and he sees the drinks on the floor in the row. And then he basically goes into the Dark Order hangout, and Dark Order is just, like, confessing their love to him, and Cole Cabana's passed out because he doesn't drink, and they got him to drink, and Evil Uno hugs Hangman, and, like, he's reading him a poem, and all this stuff. They're basically all confessing their love to Hangman Page, and Hangman overhears Kenny Omega winning the title through, like, the sound system, and, like, runs out of the room. And then we see Matt and Nick Jackson are like, basically they're like, what the hell's going on? Because Kenny wins the title and he winds up leaving with Don Callis, as everybody knows by now how that all went down. So of course, Kenny didn't meet up with the Young Bucks after the win, and the Young Bucks are talking to Brandon Cutler, and they're like, man, yeah, Kenny's been teasing this for a while, and he finally did it. And Matt looks right into the camera and says, Kenny turned heel. And that's the end of the episode. Like most recent Being the Elite episodes, some really corny stuff that I wasn't that into, but for the most part, it was a really good episode this week. I'd say about 80% great, about 20% lame. So that's a pretty damn good ratio. That's going to do it for this latest episode of Being the Elite, and it's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to give me a follow on Twitter at FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. I've been Steven Jensen. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.